morning or good evening. The shiur that was scheduled for this morning, Baruch Hashem, went quite well, but the taping didn't. So right now we're redoing it, and I'd like to thank my audience, which is here for the second round of today's shiur. Today's shiur is entitled Buying Jewish. Understanding the idea of kedima given to Jewish businesses. And I think in today's world, this is an important topic, especially being with the fact that the world and its anti-Semitic head have emerged, and there's a very strong BDS movement against Israel and against Jewish products. And if anything, there's all the more importance for us to support our own and support Jewish businesses, Jewish people. And what I'd like to cover today are really four basic questions on this topic, the idea of buying Jewish. Question number one, first and foremost, is there a chiyuv? Is there an obligation for one to buy, to give business, to buy a product from a Jewish company? Now, what's interesting is you'll look in the Shulchan Aruch, you will not find this halacha clearly codified in Shulchan Aruch. And seemingly you'd think in somewhere in Choshen Mishpat, you should find this, yet it's not there. So is that itself indicative of the fact there is no such chiyuv? It's one question. Second question, and this is a common question, people in fact before the shiur asked me this, assuming there is an inyan to give kedima, to give preference to a Jewish business, but at what price? If there's a price difference between the two, would we still say that we should favor the Jewish company over the secular, Gentile, cheaper company? Third question I'd like to deal with today is convenience. We live in a world where there's so much focus of shopping and acquiring things in easy manner over the internet, home delivery. So in that world, is convenience a factor? And finally, fourthly, this idea of giving preference to Jews, does that apply to all Jews? Does that apply to only to Shomer Shabbos Jews? How do we weigh what it means giving preference to Jews? So the earliest source that we find in this topic is the Shal Shetshuvos Ramah. Shal Shetshuvos Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, who's famous for his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, most of the Ashkenazic world relies heavily on it. So in the Shal Shetshuvos Simen Yud, he deals with a fascinating case, fascinating Shaila. We know the printing press began the revolution of printing in the late 1400s. And fast forward half a century, by the year 1550, the Jews were already emerged as the people most involved with printing books. Baruch Hashem, there are many svarim that were printed since the advent of the printing press. And in the year 1550, someone by the name of Moshe Padua, known as Maram Padua, actually, I believe his last name was Katznellenbogen. So this tzaddik, huge Talmud Chacham, undertook to go and print the Rambam. Till this point, the Rambam is magnum opus, the Mishneh Torah, obviously the tremendous Sefer, which is the connection between Gemara and Halacha, such an important Sefer, till this point was only handwritten. And the only handwritten copies from generation to generation passed on. And the Maram Padua believed this would be an important thing for the Jewish community to print the Rambam. And he invested much effort. At that point, the center for printing of the world was Italy. He found a printing house, and he, after much effort and time, printed many, many copies of the Rambam. But unfortunately, even back then, I guess they had an Italian mafia. And in Italy, there was another printing house which didn't get the job. And they were upset about it. And they evilly decided they're going to go to the Vatican. Oh, take a step back, excuse me, before I jump. First, what they did, this other printing company, is they bought a copy of, they got a copy of from the Rampatawa's Rambam, and they went themselves and knocked it off. This is pre-copyrights. They took a copy and printed it themselves, charged half the price, and were severely threatening Maran Padua's version of the Rambam. Basically, it was the same version, but for half the price. And the Maran Padua obviously understood this is a tremendous threat and a financial challenge to everything he invested. And he was quite nervous. What should he do? So he brought his issue to the Rama, and the Rama decided he's going to write a tshuva. And the Rama wrote a tshuva, which we'll go through soon. Within his tshuva, the Rama paskened that there's a chiyuv for one to buy from a Jewish business, in this case the Maharam Padua's version of the Rambam, versus to buy from a Gentile business, the Barnes and Nobles, the other copy of the Rambam. And the Rama wrote this strongly, even in the face of a price difference, even a significant price difference. And the Jewish people listened to the words of the Rama, and they bought, even at their expense, the copies from the Maran Padua. The result of this was this Italian company that lost out got very upset, and they went to the Vatican. And they complained about, in general, Jewish Sfarim were defaming their own religion. They didn't respect their religion. And because of this, two big things happened. Firstly, the Vatican and people connected with them were involved in book burnings, and there was much sorrows that happened to the Jewish people from that time, 1550, in terms of persecution and burning of books. But another factor was they started censoring the books. Basically, any book that was published, someone pointed out, the Vatican themselves were very involved in the publishing of the books and watching the publishing of books. And every sefer that was published had to be censored, had to be watched by people from the church, and it limited what could be written. Just over Shabbos, a fascinating story. I was sitting with Rabbi Ephraim Freeman of Chicago, and he was telling me recently he found in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, at the end of Hilchos Rechilos, I believe the end of Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, the Chafetz Chaim writes a line about, yeah, if you have a Jewish business which is not so erlich, you should report it to the Goyim, so they shouldn't do business with him. And the Chafetz Chaim quotes a pasuk, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, you should run after righteousness. And he has a line there, Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, that's how he signs off. And it's funny, because there is no drasha, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, that one should tell over to the Goyim, a Jewish business that's doing the wrong thing. And it seems multiple Mefarshim there on the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, as well as I found someone brought the question to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he agreed that you have to say that these lines written by the Chafetz Chaim were not true, and the Chafetz Chaim knew it. He wrote it purely, Sefer Chafetz Chaim, I checked, was printed in the year 1873. Even the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, which is a household name, it's a Sefer, we could look back in history and sort of touch it. It was written by the Chafetz Chaim, but he was fearful. 1873 in Vilna was nervous about censor from the government, and specifically threw in this line because of the government. So you see how far-reaching this case of the Maran Padua, Shaul Shachuvas Rama, dealt with in 1550. Hundreds of years later, we are still suffering from the ramifications of that case. Fascinating tshuva. So in that tshuva itself, The Rama, in that tshuva itself, the Rama proves, firstly from a Gemara in Baba Metzia, that's on top of her pages, where the Gemara says, Darshan's the pasuk in Kesef Talvis Ami Esa Ani Imach, that Ami V'Nachri, if you have a Jew who wants to lend money and a Gentile, Ami Kodem. You're in my nation. Jewish people come first. The Gemara continues with other drashas. Ani V'Asher, family member versus community, your community versus a different community, all different levels of kedima when it comes to lending money. And the Gemara continues on Amar, Ami V'Nachri, Ami Kodem Pshita. It's Pashat. Sounds from here the idea to give preference to a Jew over a Gentile is purely logical. You don't need a Pasuk to teach you that. Pshita. Seemingly, this whole idea of Kedima is a very, very logical mitzvah that Gemara here understands. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Lo Nitzcha, Da'afilu Nachri Beribis, Yisrael Bechinam. Halacha applies even to a Gentile who would pay you extra, who would pay you ribis, versus a Jew who you can't charge ribis on. And the Ramah Paskins from over here, what do you see? This Gemara is not only talking about the halachas of lending money, the Ramah understands, who adin, this would also apply to giving money to a Jewish business. You should buy from a Jewish business before you buy from a Gentile. And this Gemara is saying, that's Pashat. The Chiddush is even if there's a price difference. And that's what the Ramah brings a Raya from this Gemara. Now the Ramah himself then goes and writes, maybe he'll say over here, we're just talking a case of where there's a profit. What about in the case, okay, so you see, you have to forgo a profit to help out another Jew. But what about a case of where it's not, we're not talking about a profit, we're talking about a loss. In halakhic literature, we make a difference whether the money you're gaining is a profit, you're losing out on a profit, or it's a loss, you're being hurt by it. So to that, the Ramah concedes there's no riot from this Gemara, but rather he goes to Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that's involving the din of Nevela, that also over there, we say that you give it to, there would have to be a Ger Toshav, over a Gentile. There's a din of Kedim over there too. So the Ramah wants the Paskin clearly, that one would be obligated to give money to a Jewish business over a Gentile business, even where there is a loss of money. And therefore, that's why he's right to Paskin in favor of the Maran Padua, that people should purchase his edition of the Rambam versus the Gentile edition. Now, this Psak of the Ramah, as we said, was accepted in his community. But he's not the only Daya here. There's a Shal Shetshuvas Tashbat in the bottom of your sheets. Chelek Gimel Siman Kuf Nun Aleph. There he limits the Din of Kedima to a case where there's only a small difference in price. If there would be a larger difference in price, the Tashbats would say there is no mitzvah, there is no inyan to daf to give it to a Jewish business. And he brings a raya from that same Gemara in Avodah Zarah that the Ramah brought. He brings a raya from Tosas against that. Because Tosas himself seems to qualify the case there at Nevela, there was no major price difference between the two. So, the Maisa seems like a kash on the Ramah. Well, is the Ramah thinking, even by a big price difference, Tosas over there seems to say not like that. Okay, but that's the position of the Tashbats. Limiting and arguing on the din of the Ramah. Now, bringing this more practical, the Sefer Avos Chesed, which is a tremendous Sefer written by the Chofetz Chaim, mostly focusing on the laws of lending money, of tzedakah, Gemilas Chasadim. But within it, he speaks about this halacha. So it's on the back of your sheets. Chavetz Chaim writes the following. V'da'od, tuhua de'nin mechira, gamki netzricha Torah, kishayil Yisrael dover ma'ar limkar, v'nizdam lefon of Yisrael k'nani, limkar Yisrael. Interesting. The Chavetz Chaim brings the halacha first in a case of where I'm the seller. I could sell this object to a Jew or to a Gentile. Halacha is first I should sell it to a Jew, then sell it to a Gentile. V'chein hu adin l'inim tzarech liknos, so too in terms of buying something, dechsev v'chi simkul mimkar la misecha, o konu liyang misecha. Quotes a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, you should sell la misecha or buy la misecha. The pasuk itself first brings the mechira, then the kinyan. That's why the halacha is like that in the Chavetz Chaim. V'yisa b'sifri, imbas limkar, timkul yisar chavercha, chim imbas liknos, tiknim yisar chavercha. Then he adds, u'pashit du'adin imtzarech liskar ezer davar mulachto, mutav sheyiskar mi'yisrael. So the Chavetz Chaim is writing, in all these scenarios, he quotes the pasuk over here in Vayikra, it's pashit, there's an inyan, to give business to the Jewish business, or to sell to a Jewish business, or to rent from a Jewish business. All these are chiyuvim that the Chavetz Chaim brings here lahalacha in the Sefer Avos Chesed. However, in halacha Zayin, it qualifies. Va'afilu maknani mosif ma'at yosar al mekach. In halacha Vav, we were talking about a case of where the money's the same. Basically, if I buy from the Jew, buy from the Gentile, it's all the same. In halacha Zayin, there he talks about a case if the Kanani adds a little bit, Yosef al-Mekach. Afilu hachi mutav limkul Yisrael b'pachas. It's better to sell for the Jew even if you're walking away with less money. V'cheinu adin in Kenyan, if you're going to buy something, mutav Yosef shiknem Yisrael. It's better if you buy from a Jew, v'im tzarech l'osef ma'at Yosef. So the first thing I believe you see here in the language of the Chavetz Chaim, and the fact that Rabbi Sharfman, when he talked about this topic years ago, he has share number 77 on this, he was medayik the lashon of the Chavetz Chaim. Here he doesn't write it as a chiyuv. Before he wrote Hitzrichu HaTorah in Siv Vav. Here in Siv Zayin, he writes mutav. It's better. And in fact, if you look in the Chavetz Chaim's Perush on Avos HaChesed, entitled Nesiv Chesed, the Chavetz Chaim himself asks a question from Halacha in Choshen Mishpat that when it comes to Metzranis, the idea of having land one next to each other, there the Chavetz Chaim, there the Halacha states that you're not mechuyev to sell to a Jew if you're going to incur a loss for a cheaper price. So the Chavetz Chaim writes clearly, Yesh lomer in hachi nami techiv ein alav. Avo mitzvah yesh alav bezeh. The Chavetz Chaim writes, there's a difference seemingly between Siv Vav and Siv Zayin. If the money is the same, I could buy from a Jew or buy from a Gentile. I could sell to a Jew, sell to a Gentile. So there the halacha is, you have a chiyuv to go buy from the Jew. You have a chiyuv to sell to the Jew. What we're talking about in Siv Zayin is a case where the money is different. Once the money is different, then we say no. You may not have you don't have an absolute chiyuv. We can't force you. There's no absolute chiyuv over here. There's a mitzvah. There's an inyan. There's an inyan to then still buy from the Jew, even though the Kanani is going to be mosif ma'ayosar ha-mekach. Now, I'd like to clarify further. The case he's talking about sounds like there's a small difference in mosif ma'ayosar ha-mekach. So, sounds like from the Chavetz Chaim, he is paskening clearly like the Tashbats, that we would only say this halacha if there's a small difference. He wouldn't go as far as the simple reading in the Shah, in the Ramah, that even if there's a strong difference, a major difference, still the halacha applies. No. The Chafetz Chaim says to begin with, once there's any price difference, then it's not a chiyuv, it's just a mitzvah. And even the mitzvah is only where there's a small difference. But if there'll be a significant difference, there we would say no. Not only is it no chiyuv, there wouldn't even be what you call a mitzvah. So it sounds like so far there's three levels. Again, level number one, where it's all equal, there we say, buy from the Jew, sell to the Jew. Where the money is slightly different, there's no chiyuv. Once the money is different, the chiyuv seems like not the same, but there is still a mitzvah. A mitzvah there is. The third level is when there's a strong difference, a big difference, between the Jewish business versus the other one. There we, seemingly from the Chafetz Chaim, he's only bringing down, there's not even a mitzvah in that case. The Ramah might say that. For the record, the Chafetz Chaim, perhaps he's learning this way to defend the Ramah from the question of the Tashbox from that Tosos. He understands the Ramah would also agree it's only by a small difference. Very interesting. So those are the basic three categories. In the Siv HaChesed, in the next paragraph, add one more point. And it's good to see this inside. This is going to be a fourth category. Fida, denirali, davka bedavar she'en mechel yadua. Till now, we're only talking about a case of where there's no clear-cut market value for something. Avodavar she'mechel yadua, but by something where there is a clear market value. Vaktani wrote to Legion Lokafi HaMekach, and the Ketani wants to give it to you at price. Vayisrael wrote to she'yuzo lo ha'mocher men ha'mekach. The Jew, looking to Jew you. He's Israeli. He knows how to handle. You say five, he says three. Well, Tziv Salav HaTorah B'zeh. Torah does not command you to go down. Da'afilun lo ha'yukan kanani. Even if the Gentile wouldn't be here. Gam kenen m'chliv l'hozel. You have no responsibility to go down. So too, in terms of buying from a kanani, if they want to buy at a smaller price, emechli b'zeh. So this fourth case is where the Jew's asking you, give me a good deal. You know, I'll buy it from you, but at a lower price. That, the Chafetz Chaim saying, there is absolutely no chiyuv, and even if it's a small price. What we were talking about before in level two, where there's a small price, there is a chiyuv, that's something where there's no clear set price, but market value. Everyone knows the price going for it is five, and the Jew asks you, charge me three. There no such chiyuv, and there definitely is no kedima for the Jew over the Gentile. So those are your four issues, four levels when it comes to price. So again, I believe so far we've dealt with the first two of our four kashas. Is there a chiyuv to give kedima to a Jew over a Gentile? Yes. Where the price between the two objects are the same? Yes, it applies to both buying and selling. You should buy from a Jew. You should sell to a Jew. Yes. However, once there is a price difference, halacha l'maaseh the Chafetz Chaim is going to paskin, there's a mitzvah if there's a small price difference. But if there's a big price difference, there the Chafetz Chaim seems like it goes like Tashbatz. There is no chiyuv. There is no mitzvah. And the fourth level is where the Jew wants you to go below market price. When there's a clear market price, he wants you to go below. There we would say there's no chiyuv whatsoever. Okay. That's all in terms of price. What about the third issue we talked about? What about convenience? So for the record, there is a tshuva out there from Maharam Shik. He talks about it, I believe Rabbi Sharfman dealt with this in the share that he gave on the topic, and he was skeptical whether the Maram Shik's perception of convenience in his day is the same of how we view convenience today. I would add to the equation the language here of the Chafetz Chaim, at the end of Sivav, after he talked about the three cases, selling to, buying from, renting, he writes, all these are chiyuvim, imatoeles mishneim b'shavu. If the toeles from both of them are equal. Now that sounds like a very important clause. When do we say, buy from the Jew over the Gentile? That's if everything is equal. The quality is equal. The trust you have with the person is equal. The convenience is equal. If there is a convenience that one store has over the other, that's worth something. That is significant. In the world today, as we mentioned, people do business all the time over the internet. People shop with home delivery, live very busy lives. And convenience is a factor. You'd pay money for convenience. So of course there's already, that itself is already a monetary difference. So the only time we have all these dinim of kedima is if toelos mishneim mishava, huadin, other two scenarios I pointed out. The quality is different between the two. Of course that's a difference. If the Jewish quality is not the same as the Gentiles, and you want the higher quality, of course, that's an option. You could go with the higher quality. Then you don't really have the choice, you feel, between the two. And another scenario, unfortunately, sometimes have this. Let's say the Jewish business is run, shall we say, a little bit too Haimish. And it's not well-run business. And you can't rely on him as he can deliver your order on time. I need this on time. Again, that's a different issue. Perhaps you have to go to the Gentile. So, in terms of convenience, it seems from here, perhaps this clause here in the Chafetz Chaim, that the only time we have this mitzvah, we have all these inyanim, is only when the convenience to elos mishneim mishava. But if there's differences between them, convenience in terms of trust, in terms of quality, yeah, then the halacha may not apply. And finally, the fourth question that we talked about. So I found it fascinating. One of these farm here on the Sefer Avos Chesed, they quote from Kovetz Igros Rebbe Chanan. Not sure that's the same as Kovetz Mamarim. It looks to be different. So there they bring from Rebbe Chanan. Rebbe Chanan held the idea of giving preference to a Jew over a Gentile only applies if the Jew is Shomer Torah Mitzvos. But someone who unfortunately is not, there's no din kadima there. And I found there's a Shal Shuvas Chassam Sofer, predates Rabbi Chanan, also agrees with this stance. However, on the opposite side of the spectrum, Chaim Ozer, and they quote here also the Chazon Ish, both said it applies to any Jew. Any Jew, regardless of whether he's a Shomer Torah or Mitzvos, the halacha would be there's a din of kedima for him. Now, sounds like a machlokas. You know, practically in the world today, we very much lean on the idea that many non-religious Jews have the din of a tinek shenishba. So in fact, it might be not so easy to take a non-Shomer Shabbos Jew out of the equation. The opinion of Chaim Ozer, we know, seemingly carry all the more relevance today, where unfortunately many of our brethren are assimilated and never had a proper Jewish education, never had a yeshiva education. It's interesting, within the world today, you know, within this machlokas we had, you know, is there preference to a non-Shomer Shabbos Jew? So let's assume on the tzad that there is, we would give preference to a non-Shomer Shabbos Jew over a Gentile store. But what about if it's Jew versus Jew? I have two stores I could buy from. I could buy from the store of the Shomer Shabbos. I could buy from the store of the other person who's Jewish, just not Shomer Shabbos. Is there a din kedima for the Shomer Shabbos over the non-Shomer Shabbos? If you take Rabbi Chanan Chassam Sofer's question, of course, because the non-Shomer Shabbos doesn't factor in. But if you take Chaim Ozer, it does factor in. Okay, but does a Shomer Shabbos person get a kedima because he's Shomer Shabbos? That's an additional question, and I'm not sure. Two more points I would quickly like to add. Rabbi Sharfman made a beautiful point. You know, this whole discussion we're having today is all regarding the specific mitzvah of giving kedima to a Jew from buying from him or selling to him. But there's this another mitzvah in the Torah, and the Chafetz Chaim talks about this earlier in Sefer Avos Chesed, mitzvah of the Hekzaktabo. The Hekzaktabo says, if you see a Jew who's about to go fall into Anias, the Hekzaktabo, lift him up. Save him before he falls down the cliff. Save him before he reaches poverty. If you see somebody teetering, save him, reach out to him before. And many times, especially as small businesses, there are some businesses which are on very strong footing, but there are many small businesses that are not. And there's an inyan. You know what? Help, give this guy business. Help him out. Let him feel like a mensch. He's doing business. Versus if you don't support him, chas v'shalom, before long, he could fall into anias. Then you're going to have to support him because he's an ani. So the mitzvah zaktabo itself, aside from this issue of kedima, might tell you, if I have a choice of buying from a Jewish store or a Gentile store, you got to buy from the Jewish store. Forget about the din kedima. What about the din of Hekzaktabo? Even where there would be a strong difference in price. You know what? There's an inyan to give tzedakah. It's a form of tzedakah. You're preempting the problem. Give him money. Help him out. And I'd like to end with a couple practical cases with these things, these shilas of kedima, Jewish business over a Gentile business. My Freeman told me a story in Chicago. Baruch Hashem, they have some nice kosher supermarkets, but the big local supermarket, the Jewel over there in Chicago, decided they're going to open up a big supermarket with a major kosher section. And my Freeman was quite nervous that this would put the Jewish supermarkets out of business. And he rallied and spoke a lot about this mitzvah, the inyan, to help out the Jewish business. And Baruch Hashem, people responded, and they continued to support the Jewish business. Baruch Hashem, today they both exist. You have the Jewel, which does provide kosher products, but at the same time, there still are Jewish-owned supermarkets, which Baruch Hashem do the same. And one final case, in the city of Baltimore, which also has a sizable Jewish community, and Jewish supermarkets, Jewish-owned supermarkets. The local big supermarket, Safeway, decided they're going to open up right there, Jewish side of town, in fact, down the block from, they all know the halachas of Hasagas Gvul, down the block from a kosher supermarket. And similarly over there, too, the Rabbanim got involved and talked about the inyan of supporting a Jewish business. And over there, it's quite fascinating. The Safeway ended up closing down, and the Jewish business bought the store from them. When you support a Jewish business, you're not just supporting an individual, many times you're supporting a community. Be'ez Hashem, we should all have atzlacha with our own businesses, our own buying and selling. We should appreciate what it means to help out a melacha, help out another Jew, and we should all be zocha that if we ever need it, we'll find the helping hand of a fellow Jew there looking to do what they can to help us out. Thank you very much.